Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight we're talking with Hidden Gem from Austin, Texas, Sarah Sharp.
Sarah is a singer-songwriter who just dropped her album entitled Deja Vu on May 15th.
I can't wait to ask her all about it. And here's a little more about Sarah. Staple of the Austin music scene, the former leader of the critically acclaimed Jitterbug Vipers and highly respected commercial songwriter's luminous debut blends intimate, nocturnal arrangements with her incredible vocal prowess.
Debut crosses over a multitude of genres, from jazz to folk to Americana, providing a wide cinematic canvas on which she traverses a haunting emotional journey. She's also a three-time Austin Music Awards winner for Best Jazz.
Sharp released the debut single off the album in March, a heart-wrenching reinterpretation of Bob Dylan's Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Sharp started performing the tune during her nine-year prestigious residency at the Elephant Room in Austin when a former boyfriend developed cancer. Passing away soon after, Sharp's reading of the tune reflects on the disappointment of past relationships, embodying the experience and loss. You can truly hear the vulnerability in every note Sarah sings.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us where you are coming to us from tonight?
Hi, I'm Sarah Sharp. I live in Austin, Texas. Right there, Austin.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you an Austin native?
I grew up in Houston, but I've been in Austin since 99.
So you pretty much are.
Yes.
And I've lived other places too, but yeah.
Well, tell us how you got started in a career in music and songwriting and all of the above.
Music, I just grew up in it. Not, my parents weren't exactly professionals. My mom was a classical pianist and so was my grandmother, but huge Catholic family. Everybody played instruments. Everybody sang. I was one of 28 grandkids on my mom's side. And I think 40 grandkids between the two sides. And almost everybody's in Houston. So it was a lot of gathering, a lot of fun. Old school. Like I thought everybody gathered all the time and played music at the end of it in four-part harmony all the time.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
That's awesome.
So I know that you had a residency in Austin. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I have played. It's now on Thursdays. It used to be Tuesdays. Every Thursday for 9 years at the Elephant Room. I've been playing in Austin since about 99. So I've played lots and lots and lots of places.
Yeah. Do you still do that residency? Are you there every week?
It's still, other than we've been getting out on the road some, but many, really, you know, 40 something Thursdays a year I'm at the Elephant Room.
Wow. Is that your favorite venue to play in Austin?
Well, it's my favorite as far as it's the rhythm of our life, and it's my, everybody on the album is in that band, and then there's an additional piano player who's not in the weekly band, but we are family, and we're everybody's jazz musician, and also they play on my songwriting songs. So we don't have like, here's your part, do it the same way every time.
Yeah.
So every week we're bringing in what's really happening in our lives, whether good and bad, and we're doing it together. So there's a real organic, living, breathing, always evolving thing about that. And my guitar player Mitch is the most senior member of the band, and he's gone through a lot physically. He's had spinal surgeries, and he says to me pretty much every Thursday, "Good night, Sarah. I always feel better when I'm leaving here than when I got here."
Oh,
so we all really need it. And of course, there are other bigger shows, there are other more well-paid shows, but that's our home base.
That's family. I love it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do you tell us a little about, we know you've got this new album. Tell mm-hmm. us how it's different from some of your past albums in that it's more collaborative and that kind of stuff. Tell us how it's kind of evolved or how it's different.
Well, there's one part that's really different. I'm a jazz singer and I'm a songwriter, and I've had different albums and different projects, and I also write for two different music production libraries. So I've had a lot of songs, lot of songs used in film and TV, but that's mostly through my day job where I write for Universal Music Publishing. And now I have another partner I work with, and that's coming out through Warner Chappell. So I'm a prolific production music writer during the day. Some of those songs, all of them are good songs, but some of them are interesting enough for what we do live that we do those songs even in the jazz club.
Cool.
And this record is the first one I've put out as just under my name that's a full, mostly jazz album. And it's the only record I've ever put out where I didn't write any of the songs. And part of that's because I was ready to make two different records that I know I want and need to make. And we had a very unexpected opportunity to use our friend's recording studio. The guitar player, Eric Johnson, who lives in Austin, he's a renowned, not just guitar player, songwriter, singer, but he's a guitar god. And he's based here. And he gave me a very unexpected invitation. The first time he heard us play, we met for the first time. We had coffee a few days later, became friends. And during that coffee, he said, "I'm going to be touring on the Jimi Hendrix Experience tour. And if you want to use my private personal studio while I'm gone, just pay my engineer. And I'd really like to give you that opportunity." And we only had 2 days in a row that everybody could do it, where he was gone and we were all available. So no warning. We recorded 11 songs, almost all of it in 2 days, not all of the vocals, but we had to just go in and do what we, rather than things with my originals, which would probably require more of a producer and more pre-production. We just did what we do every week with our, songs we didn't write.
How did you pick which songs to be on the album?
That was something really lucky, because I remember learning in college how much pre-production really, really matters. And we didn't have time for that. But we recorded 5 or 6 weeks in a row at the Elephant Room live to see if we could get a live album out of it. And I decided, I don't think we can use this. But I studied, we played from 6 to 8:30 with a little break. So we play over 2 hours every Thursday, and I studied all of those hours and took notes and decided, sometimes we had this person on piano, sometimes we had this, sometimes our main piano player will pick up the accordion or cornet or switch it around. And so I had decided, man, when we do that, we should really have Oliver play accordion instead, things like that. And some of the songs that became my top priority, I would never have realized we should really record that if it weren't for having listened to all the hours of it live and noticing certain things rise to the top that I wouldn't have known just by writing down a list.
So much thought went into to putting it together. I think that's so cool. Do you have a favorite one on there? I should say favorite, maybe there's difference, like favorite to play and then favorite that how it turned out.
Okay. Well, I think the first song on the record is the Bob Dylan song, Don't Think Twice.
One of my favorite songs.
That's one of the three on the record where we kept the vocal, that happened in the room. And we started that song and the band was playing it kind of a little too subdivided and happy. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we had only started to play it live not long before this session. But the night that I first said, because we don't really rehearse hardly ever, but at soundcheck, I said, you know, I've been thinking about this song and I can't stop hearing the line. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. And during soundcheck, my guitar player just started to play it. And I opened up my phone and hit record and everybody joined in. And then we just didn't stop. And we ended up just starting our set and not saying like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we just,
yeah,
that ended up being the first song. We played it all the way through. And so in the studio, I referred back to this happened when this was just an idea. And so they were in, you know, able to be influenced by that. And then it was just one take.
That's fantastic. That's one of my favorite songs. So I'm excited that it's on there.
Beautiful, beautiful rendition.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
What do you think, as far as this album goes, compared to your albums where you wrote, how is it different and how is it, was it harder or easier?
I don't know how to say harder or easier. I think that what made it finally the time where things worked out and like every step of the way, it just keeps working out. And everybody needed to have their best day. We needed to get recorded well. I mean, all the things that there's not any one of us can control every aspect. I think that's the result of a lot of hard times, a lot of, you know, just being weathered by the week after week and the grind. And I don't just mean that like lamenting. I mean, the rewards that come with, you know,
mm-hmm.
like more and more rings on the oak tree that can weather all the things, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So that made it easy in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the engineer, Kelly, who recorded and mixed us, and he'd had years and years of being Eric Johnson's studio, like running that studio, knowing that space. He was excited to do something different. Like everybody's bringing years and years of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how it different. Sometimes I think I sing differently when I'm interpreting these songs that are so universal that they become standards or they become, you know, a lot, most of the record is like Great American Songbook,
mm-hmm.
but the other ones are still just so much a part of our musical history and culture. But the reason they are is because the story and the storytelling, and it's so universal and it's so true to those of us who are able to or let ourselves feel all of it of the being human.
Yeah, right. It's just good for the condition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a little bit about your day job. How did you get into that career, like being a signed songwriter for different companies? How does that work?
Let's see. I guess it was 2003 that I worked as a music supervisor on an indie film, and then I ended up with a couple of those jobs, and then other random music supervisor things. And that was not really because I had a career dream of being a music supervisor, but I really love to connect people and help people. And so I was helping friends who were making films with, okay, you wish you could have this song, but this is your budget. And yeah. here's my friend, who a lot of them were totally indie. Like this is somebody from Austin or from Texas. They didn't have to be, but mostly they were, who still owns their masters, owns their publishing, and listen to their production and listen to how this is kind of evoking what you're talking about, but you could actually clear this, you know?
Yeah.
And in that job, I would sometimes write something for the director that, okay, he loves this artist and we still don't have anything for this scene. And so I would say, hey, artist, do you want to just see if we could whip something together? Because he loves you and this is what he wishes we had here. And so that started a partnership with Andrea Perry, who's a multi-instrumentalist and producer and singer-songwriter in Austin. And there's a song we did for a very indie film called When Harry Tries to Marry that ended up as the entire opening scene. They almost used the whole song. And Andrea had been trying for a long time to get some work with Universal and for their production library, and could never get a human to reply. But then somebody happened to see the movie.
Oh, wow.
So they asked her, can you do five more songs like that? And we partnered on it together, and it was a song a week. And I had a almost 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-week-old. And, wow. And in my band at the time, I was playing over 200 shows a year. So I was wearing my infant. He did 100 shows in the first 6 months of his life, and wow, writing a song every week. But it wasn't my identity. It wasn't like, this is what Sarah's gonna put out into the world to show who my artistic identity. And so we just, no time to think, no time to question. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity because I was like drowning in babies and worried that that my career was, you know, tanking. And so then we just stayed on this really disciplined regimen. And she's like, let's just keep going. Let's just hope they buy it. And so in the first 26 weeks, we wrote, recorded, and she produced 24 songs.
Wow.
And they bought them all.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so we still get the writer royalties from that. And so at this point I've sold over 50 songs. I mean, first they bought everything we did, and then they're like, okay, we don't need so much of Sarah's voice, but a few more every year. And I have a 10 song album coming out through Atomica, which is, they've chosen to put part of their Warner Chappell efforts. So we're going to be like the most well represented with this new 10 song album that hopefully will get lots more placements.
Yay. And is that so all amazing original stuff for you? For
that's the 10 all songs? Original. So at this point, Andrea and I together have sold 60 something songs. She's always doing it. So I'm just one of her most frequent collaborators, but
I love that.
Yeah. So that's always going on while all the other stuff is going on.
Yeah. So do you know any idea when that's coming out?
Well, like this weekend she texted me and said, look at our ASCAP. And
they had found out.
She's like, I think it's really coming out. Cause it, once we sell them, we hand it all over. We still make writer royalties. And with this one, we make half of the sync money, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, musicians. Are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
What do you do when you have writer's block with all of these deadlines and things? How do you handle that?
Well, it's different if it's something that I think I would put on an album under my name versus, look, this assignment was, we want to be inclusive, uplifting, universal, like, you know, unconditional love. Quick songs these days are, they get to the chorus a lot faster. They're quicker. People's attention spans are smaller. So when I don't have identity as like Sarah Sharp attached, it's a lot easier to not overthink it. And I'm really good with a deadline. Like I've never missed one.
And, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm part of a songwriter group, a group in Austin, I think this was the ninth year, that if you say yes, that you're going to do it on New Year's Day, you get your prompts. And every other week for the first 8 weeks of the year, you've got a song due. So at the very least, I write four songs at the beginning of each year that are more as me. But
yeah,
it's gotten to where it's like over 60 songwriters in the group, and we all upload it to the Dropbox and hold each other accountable and then have a little party, and they'll do a showcase where some of us will do our songs. We can't all do it every year.
But, cool. Yeah. We need that here.
We do. Mm-hmm.
I had a poetry group similar where we would exchange poems, but no one else was accountable but me. And so it fell apart. So I love hearing that. That
me
makes
too.
It so successful. It's exciting. So do you feel like you have any influences that you would name? Like, who are your, I don't want to say guru.
Hero.
Like heroes. Or, yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, I would say the songwriters on the record I'm putting out are way up there. Which include Bob Dylan and Paul McCartney and Randy Newman, but also like Stephen Sondheim. And then as a singer, as a jazz singer, I think Billie Holiday's a huge influence, but also there was a record that Etta James made in the 90s, I think in the 90s, where she, all of the songs were Billie Holiday songs, but Etta James's version. And when I started at being music school at Berkeley, and I didn't know anything about jazz. I was just wanted to be a singer, and something about that record really unlocked me being able to even think of myself as a jazz singer, or her phrasing, the combination of Billie Holiday's phrasing sits kind of where the beat sits for me, with all the being back there and wait for it and take your time. But then Etta James's interpretation of her unlocked something for me.
Love it.
Cool.
Love it.
Well, should we do our...
Yes. We're going to ask you some rapid fire questions. So don't think too hard. Just answer.
Yeah, I didn't study, so I don't know what the questions are.
It's all good.
You will pretty easy.
Yeah. The first one is coffee or tea?
Tea. I was married to an Englishman for 20 years.
Oh, there you go. Vinyl, mm-hmm. cassette, CD, or streaming?
Vinyl.
First album you ever bought?
Well, I'm thinking of like first albums I ever listened to, because my family were one thing, but that I bought, it was probably Sting, whatever his first huge one was when he was not the Police.
Hey, yeah. I can't think of the name of him, but he's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your go-to karaoke song if you have one?
I don't enjoy karaoke, so when I do it, I pretend to be a really terrible singer.
Well, that's fun too.
Yeah. So one time I did a duet of Endless Love with my friend who was like clerking for a Supreme Court justice at the time. And we got up there and just, my endless love. I sang it as horribly as possible. My love, there's only you, my
That's awesome. It's like
love.
Happy Gilmore. I sing that
Yeah.
one too.
Oh my gosh. Okay, do you prefer writing lyrics or music, I guess, at night or in the morning?
Morning, right when you're still have one foot in the other shop. Yeah.
Yes. And do you write those lyrics or on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
If I'm waking up with because it's coming in, I'd have to have my phone nearby because I can't catch it fast enough that I need
Yeah. Yeah.
writing it down. And then I do write a lot on paper.
If you're trying to write it when you get up, at least I find I cannot read my handwriting. Do you have a pre-show pump-up song?
No, but I warm up my voice a lot. I have the same like old voice lessons that I sing along to in the same order.
I
My
love
kids
that.
probably have them all memorized. And
Oh,
then, yeah.
I'd call that a pump-up song.
Yeah.
That's good. Dogs, cats, fish, or birds?
I don't have any animals because I have to Airbnb my house all the
Oh, gosh.
time and let other people move in order to afford to stay in Austin. But I live on the park and I have hundreds of birds and I use the Merlin app and I know
Oh,
most of
gosh,
their
yes.
songs and
Oh, yay.
I'll like get up and be like, whoa, what's that? That's not, what bird is that when I hear something new?
That's funny. I love it. I also love the Merlin app. What was it, me? Yep. Describe your sound in three words.
Intimate, honest, irreverent.
And what advice would you give to new musicians and/or songwriters?
Just do it.
Yeah, that's good. That's great advice. That is.
We'd love to have you share a song. Can you tell us the name of the song and maybe a little bit about it?
I think we should share the Bob Dylan song. I mean, as far as songwriting goes, this is just the, the master. So this
Yes.
is Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
It's very iconic. I love that song.
Yeah.
Stay. We never did to
Okay, well, now it's time for your shameless plug. Where can we find your music? Where can we find your social media? Any of that kind of stuff that you might have, website?
Thank you for asking. Thank you for helping me share my message and reach lots of people. My Instagram is Sarah Sharp ATX. The album is called Deja Vu. It's on all the streaming platforms. Have a website, sarahsharp.com, has all our upcoming gigs. Probably going to be in LA before long, and we play a lot of shows in and around Austin. And that's, I'm sure, between those things, you can find all the things.
Awesome. And listeners, she's Sarah with an H.
Yes.
Very cool.
Well, thank you so very much.
And Sharp with no E.
That's right.
And Sharp with no E.
Check it out.
Yes, it's been so fun. I'm glad we got a chance to talk with you.
Lovely. I really appreciate you including me. And it's, you know.
Yes, it's great. I was excited to have you and excited for the album. I also have to say, I love the song. And I think it's going to rain today. So I'm glad that you have your version.
Yes.
So good. So good. So thank you so much.
Deja Vu, such a cool album with all of the, like she said, classics, like American standards. And it was just really cool to hear the different perspective of her songwriting versus doing the classics versus writing songs for the sink. I cannot think of the word. So I just really enjoyed talking to Sarah.
I did too. It was a neat perspective that we haven't had yet on the show. And just seeing how there's other things that you can do in this career. It doesn't have to all be, you know, working just on your own and all by yourself. You can work with other people. Obviously, we've heard a lot about collaborating, but you can be like a person who has those deadlines and does that kind of thing, or you can be your own person and do your own album.
You can do it all like Sarah does.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Sarah, so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure to have you. You are a gem, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.